You will remember from last week that Jesus had just confronted the Pharisees on their exclusionary practices, particularly the social rules that determined whether a person was clean or unclean, welcomed or rejected. And Jesus declared everyone clean and worthy to be included at the table of God. And now Mark writes a story to move us from theory to practice, from belief into action. And it's when we try to live out our belief that the difficulty sets in. Or in the words of Hamlet, there's the rub. The narrative is introduced by words that highlight geography. Jesus is going onto unfamiliar territory, and he travels with his disciples away from the center of the Jewish nation. And he moves into the vicinity of Tyre, and then they continue onto the Decapolis. Lands that were way beyond the horizons for a Palestinian Jew. Now, Tyre was known by the Jews as that pagan city over there. It was mostly occupied by people from outside the Jewish faith, Gentiles from the Syria of the first century world. And the Decapolis is quoted in first century Jewish literature as being an unclean place. That says it all, doesn't it? So these were places where the practice of welcome became significantly challenging. And so it is here that Jesus' beliefs of inclusion and welcome are put to the test. And so he meets a woman, a Greek woman, a Gentile, an unnamed woman. In Matthew's version, she is called a Canaanite. In other words, a woman descended from the very nation that Israel had defeated to gain their promised land. She is an enemy of Israel in Matthew's account. And in this moment, we see the tension between the defined community and hospitality. Jesus, this God-man, a Jewish teacher, enters a private home, and suddenly he is faced with the intrusion of a needy woman who is an enemy of Israel. And Mark writes that Jesus harshly snubs the woman and defends the collective honor of the Jewish nation. These are not easy words for us to read. Now, for some Christians, Jesus is more God than man. And we are faced with this dilemma of trying to understand how a human form of God could say words like this to another person. Scholars who write from this perspective comment that perhaps Jesus was mirroring to the disciples their exclusionary attitudes, or that Jesus was intentionally opening up a space for the woman to express her faith. Some say that it was an opportunity for Jesus to model humility in the face of a shaming rebuke from a Gentile woman. Others of us, as Christians, may embrace more of Jesus' humanity, and we would see this encounter as a developmental moment in the life of Jesus, where Jesus is learning how to put his beliefs into practice. Whichever way we seek to interpret the event, Mark's account raises for us a human dilemma. And it is this: the action of offering Christ-like hospitality creates tension for community. Hospitality is dependent on defined boundaries. And yet, hospitality always presses toward an opening up. So it is like this: we invite someone from the outside into something. And that something, a community, is a place where belonging and friendships already exist. And the act of inviting someone in challenges the sense of established belonging. So we're caught in a dilemma. We gather in this place to be nourished, to be transformed, to become Christ's body, a community. And we are also called to invite others in. So in offering hospitality, we live in this tension between the grand vision of God, where there is always an open door, and our human limits and our human needs. So Jesus enters a private home, and he does not want anyone to know he is there. Was he tired? Was he just wanting to hang out with the folks he knew and loved? Let his hair down a bit? Was he looking for rest and renewal? We don't know. But Mark records a moment where the practice of hospitality rubs up against the limits of human capacity. In the Catholic workers' movement that was started by Dorothy Day, there is this inbuilt conflict of how many guests you can take into your house. One theory is that when a stranger comes to the door, it's Christ, and you let him in. But there is a counter theory which says, if you're going to let Christ in, you don't want to have Christ sleeping under the sink, and you don't want Christ to crowd out all the other Christs that are already there. We cannot separate the goodness and beauty of hospitality from its difficulty. Historically, Christian hospitality involves a space into which people are welcomed. And Christian hospitality has also included thoughtful limit setting. Communities struggle with boundaries, and they struggle without them. Ignoring limits can be a form of arrogance, a refusal to recognize our own finiteness. So what does this mean for us? Well, St. Catherine's, as I have come to know this community in the last 2 months, is a place of deep belonging and historical friendship. It is a wonderful space into which people can be welcomed. And so I wonder if, in addition to thinking through how we can welcome our new Edgemont neighbors, we also need to be thinking through the vitality of our own lives of faith and how they sustain us. So let us think clearly. Let us discuss widely. Let us discern carefully and act with wisdom. Because moving from theory to practice, from belief to action, is when the difficulty sets in. Christ's vision of inclusion and hospitality is radical. It will press against us. It will open us up and challenge us. And it is absolutely the way Jesus calls us to live. Amen.